various parts of the world during that pandemic. It formed the background of the novel that maybe some of you have read by the great Colombian author Gabriel Garcia Marquez. He died last year, by the way, at age 87. His novel tells the story of Florentino Ariza and the object of his love, one Fermina Daza. The love between these two is thwarted by Fermina's father, who wants her to marry someone of a higher social and economic strata. To Florentino's despair, Fermina follows her father's advice. She spurns the romantic interests and desires of Florentino, and she marries a respected physician to whom she marries. She marries him, and they remain married for more than 50 years. She's widowed when her husband, the revered Dr. Juvenal Urbino, falls from a ladder as he tries to catch the family's petulant parrot, which has escaped out into the backyard into a mango tree. Almost immediately after Dr. Urbino's funeral, Florentino, who had never married, who had had multiple affairs over the years, mostly with widows, approaches Fermina again and declares his undying love for her. She rejects him once more. But over time, he wins her over, and they live happily ever after as married people in their old age. Today's pandemic of Ebola in West Africa has struck as the last of America's baby boom generation is entering what probably is its last third of life, barring some fantastic advances in human longevity. The specter of Ebola, not long ago dominating our news headlines and the broadcasts and the headlines, that now is in the background, at least in this country. However briefly, though, it was a reminder of the fragility of our human condition. The disease literally had flown from Africa to Dallas, in my backyard now. I just live 40 miles away. Where would it go next? Fortunately for us in this country, the efforts to contain the deadly virus were successful, and the threat we felt has subsided. Garcia Marquez's novel returned to my mind when Ebola broke out last year. Maybe this is so because Ebola erupted in the same year in which I became 70 years old, and it became easier for me at 70 to identify with Florentino and with Fermina. When I reached 70, it was no longer possible for me to claim I wasn't part of the old folks. In my 40s and in my 50s, I could say I was middle-aged. In my 60s, I could convince myself that I was just in late middle age. But when I got to be 70, well, a man at least has to admit he's an official old fart. But being a man of a certain age isn't all bad. There are senior discounts, tax breaks, preferred seating, and that sort of thing. There are also other important phenomena. Interpersonal relationships change and can be significant. Interactions with other men, for example. Yes, there's some deference I get now from younger men because of the way I look. But younger men often have a kind of a macho size-up when they meet, especially with strangers. Is this guy a threat to me? Can I take him if I have to? These questions occur in the minds of young men. An old guy not seen to be as a threat doesn't raise the same tension between males. It can also make a difference in the interaction with women. I saw this phenomenon last summer during the campaign up in Denton, Texas, that we were involved in to prohibit fracking in the city limits. And we were, a lot of you know, we were successful in that. Susan and I participated in that anti-fracking campaign and went door to door to knock on the doors and get people to be educated about the issues involved in fracking. Usually Susan and I went together, but some days because of schedule conflicts, I went out alone. I'd knock, and you'd see the door, and a little shadow would come behind the peephole on the shadow. And often a young woman would open the door to see why I was there. I suspect it might have been different if a younger man, unless he looked like Justin Timberlake, had been standing on her porch. She might never have opened the door. But since it was some old guy standing there, she, you know, didn't feel the same kind of tensions. For many men, this can be a difficult time of life. Most of you, I think, remember my late father-in-law, Kenneth Vaughn. He used to sit right here in this front row so he could hear better. He had severe hearing issues. Ken was just a few weeks short of 90 when he died of pneumonia. He usually came to church dressed in his dark blue suit, tie, his World War II ribbons, and his combat-earned bronze star pinned to his suit coat. Ken opposed every war after World War II. He said he wore the medals and the ribbons not to show off, but to encourage conversation about war, to give him a chance to speak against it with people who would ask him about his medals and ribbons. I couldn't wonder, though, if becoming old had something to do with it. He raged against old age and he cursed it. Maybe wearing the medals was also a way for him to proclaim, "I might be old and decrepit now, but once I was a valiant warrior." In truth, society does see older people different in many ways. There can even be a different standard of morality. You might also remember that after Ken had been a member of this congregation for some time, he began to bring with him Grace Wellman. Grace often sat right here with him on the front row. The Ken and Grace story is a bit like that of Florentino and Fermina. Ken and Grace lived on different farmsteads on the wide open plains of South Dakota in the early 20th century. They met as small children when they both attended the same one-room schoolhouse on the plains. They knew each other as they grew up. After school, they each left home, married someone else, had families, and had no contact. Some 60 years later, at a reunion of their class members, Ken and Grace met again. Ken had been divorced for many years. Grace's husband had died. Both were in their 80s. They fell in love and soon began living together, spending winters in Grace's Arizona home and summers in Ken's condo here in Galveston. Now, Grace was Lutheran. She and Ken alternated churches. One Sunday they'd be here at this fellowship, and the next Sunday they would be out at Zion Lutheran Church, which you might remember was out on Stewart Road, but Hurricane Ike did it in. Being a believing Christian, it concerned Grace that she and Ken shared a bed without being married. She sought guidance from her pastor at the Lutheran Church. For Ken, marriage was out of the question. She reported to us that after she met with the pastor, she explained to him her concerns about living with Ken and asking him if she could continue as a Christian to live and sleep with Ken. And the pastor said to her, "Go for it." Ken and Grace lived together until she died. I've wondered what message Grace took away from the pastor's advice. And what message does it give to us? I didn't have the nerve to ask her about it. But it occurred to me that the same advice might not have been given to a widow 25, 35, or 40 years old. So was the message, God only cares about the sins of lustful young people, but not about those so advanced in age and infirmity as to be incapable of reproduction, or perhaps incapable of sex? Unmarried old people could live together without sin, but unmarried young people could not. Is that the message? Well, I believe the pastor's message was an affirmation of love. I want to think that in his heart, he could not deny to Grace, in her last years, the happiness she experienced in living with Ken. The pastor set aside what I suspect was his usual standard of morality because of their age. The so-called baby boom generation technically consists of persons born from about 1946 to 1964. The core of the generation is well into its 50s and 60s, so disease, infirmity, and death are overtaking its members. I was born in 1944, just on the cusp of the boom, but friends and acquaintances of mine in that generation have died of age-related maladies and conditions. Now, naturally, this could make widows and widowers available for gray-haired hanky-panky and possibly available for marriage. Divorce also occurs between the old. Perhaps you've heard of the often repeated statement that half of all marriages end in divorce. A recent article in the New York Times, though, took issue with that, citing studies that show that the divorce rate may once have approached 50%, but that since 1980, the divorce rate actually has been declining. As an aside, it's interesting to note that the decline in divorces has been most pronounced among the college-educated. Now, various explanations have been given for this. More people are just living together. So what we have now are breakups instead of divorces. That trend has been observed mostly among young people living together. Researchers who have studied the trends show that although the overall divorce rate is declining, among baby boomers, it still remained high. So I wonder, will cohabitation soon become a fact of life among those who divorce after 20, 30, or more years of marriage? The now common occurrence of young people living together without being married may soon become more frequent among the older, widowed or divorced couples as well. How will we as a society receive the journey of the baby boomers into the late stages of life? You've probably have heard the comparison of this generation to the passing of a pig through a python. A large bulge makes its way through the snake, ballooning the creature's body as it moves through. That bulge is now almost at the end of the python. And all of that implication. But love, being what it is, will have its way, I suspect, with the widowed, the divorced, and with the separated among the gray heads, just as it does among the young, but in different ways. Hormones that drive the young in lustful pursuits have diminished to the chagrin, or perhaps to the relief, of those displaying wrinkles and gray hair. How will the younger majority of society react to senior love? in discussions I've had about this topic with some say that displays of affection between the old are disgusting. Why bother at that age, you know, they ask. I thought that the artwork on today's order of service was particularly appropriate in that regard. Other people will say, oh, it's cute to see older people walking hand in hand. So it's disgusting or it's cute. Revolting or patronizing. Of course, this applies to all older couple, not just the widowed or to the divorced. Relationships between widowed or divorced adults can be threatening to their families. The idea of mom or dad in their 60s or 70s or beyond dating or shacking up can cause a reversal of the child-parent relationship, where now the children disapprove of their parents' love interest, right? Children might hold a strong prejudice against the idea of mom or dad dating. Financial considerations can create tensions as well, particularly if the older couple considers marriage. There may be suspicions, well-founded or unfounded, about the motivation of the new person in mom or dad's life. What can really discombobulate families is when the newly single older people reveal a different sexual or gender orientation than the ones their families were used to. When older people jump the fence, it can leave children and relatives bewildered and at a loss on how to react. Well, if not driven by hormones, what spurs the silver-headed into relationships? The usual suspects emerge: loneliness, companionship, desire for intimacy, affordable living costs when shared by two, and mutual affection, and yes, love. The technology available in the time of Ebola is far advanced from what it was during the time of cholera. Paper and pen have given way to telephone and email. It's given today's seniors tools they did not have in their pursuits as young lovers. One researcher in gerontology who has studied it says that people over 60 are the fastest growing demographic in online dating. There also are reports of increasing rates of STDs in nursing homes and retirement communities. The example of Florentino and Fermina, of Ken and Grace, may provide to us the format for the decades ahead of us. We'll need to be open-minded and accepting. Unless affected by dementia of one kind or another, the elderly have as much right as the young to seek satisfying relationships. As the baby boom swells into the tail of the python, our views regarding love among the aged might face challenges. My hope is that as a society, we will not turn away in disgust and that we will not patronize. My hope is that we can follow the example of the pastor at Zion Lutheran Church. I hope we can say, go for it.